I am Pierre Lumumba here at Kibenda Tea Estate in Limuru in Kiambu County in the Republic of Kenya, continuing the discussion about Africa and her issues. And today, one of the most topical issues in the continent of Africa involves the Democratic Republic of Congo and Rwanda. And many a commentator has said many a thing about this conflict. But it is important, even before we talk about the current situation, to understand some history, because that history is what gives context. And that history is what I characterize as the original sin. Original sin because it is the genesis of the problems that we see today. What is presently the Democratic Republic of Congo was a territory that knew freedom before King Leopold of the Belgians established what was called the Congo Free State. It is because of his activities that ultimately the European powers met in Berlin in 1884 and 1885 in order to divide Africa into spheres of influence. Before the advent of the Belgians and the Germans in that territory, African communities lived without the boundaries which were then imposed in the continent and specifically imposed in the Democratic Republic of Congo. During that period, what may be described as the Rwanda Kingdom, led by the Tutsi, was to be found in present-day Democratic Republic of Congo in the Kivu area and what is present-day Rwanda, which was then known as Rwanda-Urundi. So the kingdom extended to Democratic Republic of Congo, to Rwanda, and even Urundi, and the peoples known as the Tutsi and the Hutus inhabited those areas. When the boundaries were imposed, as was the case in many African countries, some Tutsis became Congolese together with the people called the Banyamulenge, while some Tutsis became Rwandese, as indeed the Hutus with certain other communities. So when we are talking about the conflict that we know today, we must remind ourselves that there are Tutsis who are Congolese, courtesy of the Berlin boundaries, and there are some Tutsis who are Rwandese, courtesy of the Berlin activities of partition. That being the case, it is important to understand the conflict from that standpoint. When Congo regained her independence in the early 1960s, of course, there were tensions, and these tensions were characterized by ethnic affiliation, so that when the first pogrom against the Tutsi took place in 1959 and there was a dispersal, the truth is that the Tutsi were displaced, but they remained, a large number of them remained in their aboriginal land in Congo, as they did in Rwanda and Burundi. When there was yet another pogrom against the Tutsis and moderate Hutus in 1994, and the current administration of Paul Kagame came into power through the Rwanda Patriotic Front, what happened is that some of the Hutus who were involved in the pogrom and were operating under the tag Interahamwe escaped into eastern Congo. And when they escaped into Eastern Congo, they formed an organization called FDLR, whose agenda is to come back to Rwanda in order to remove the Kagame administration and what they characterize as the Tutsi administration. They are in that territory. They want to come back. During that period, through successive administration, beginning with the Mobutu Sese Seko administration, both Uganda and Rwanda were involved and indeed did help Laurent Desire Kabila to remove the Mobutu regime and to install the Kabila administration in Kinshasa. After that, during the Joseph Kabila administration, the situation remained and the Rwandese army was on a defensive posture in order to ensure that the FDLR did not invade Rwanda. The same was also true of the Ugandan army, which was also on a defensive posture because there were rebellious elements who wanted to invade Uganda. When we had in the 1990s what is called the First Congo War, it was at that time that you started having these spurts involving the organization that is now known as the M23, whose declared agenda is to protect the Tutsis from the aggression of those who say that they are not Rwandese. Their characterization as Congolese is something that has been debated over the years. In 1996, the former president of Tanzania, Julius Kambarage Nyerere, put it so very graphically. He reminded his audience that when you say that you are expelling the Tutsi from Congo, are you expelling them together with their land? And he gave an example, and in that example he said, in Kenya they are Maasais, and in Tanzania they are Maasais, and the Tanzanian Maasais are Tanzanians, and the Kenyan Maasais are Kenyans. If that then is the accepted debate, that is the context in which we must understand and see the current conflict. Rwanda has already said that our presence in DRC is on a defensive posture in order to ensure that we protect ourselves. Of course, the Western press has now made it the darn thing to say that Rwanda is assisting the M23 and is therefore destabilizing the Democratic Republic of Congo, the eastern part of it. And this has come with complete revision of their activities. Belgium has done so. The United Kingdom have done so against Rwanda. It is also instructive that what has happened is that there have been two processes which are an attempt to ensure that peace is restored. There was the original Nairobi process, which did not go very far. Then there was the Luanda process, Luanda in Angola, which was led by President João Lourenço of Angola. And the other one, of course, was led by Mr. Uhuru Kenyatta, the former president of the Republic of Kenya. There have been a number of meetings to ensure that this conflict does not continue. And those have culminated in the initial meeting, which was held in Nairobi, partly physically and virtually, and which was not attended by the president of the Democratic Republic of Congo, who then attended the one that was held under SADC in Harare. After that, there was a combined meeting of SADC, which represented the Southern African states and East African community, because the Democratic Republic of Congo is both a member of SADC and a member of the East African community. It has now been decided during the Dar es Salaam meeting, which was hosted by the president of Tanzania, Samia Suluhu Hassan, that the two processes be combined. So what we now have is the Luanda-Nairobi process. And as recently as Monday, the 24th day of February, the year 2025, the two processes have appointed the following three persons to head the process of restoring peace There, President Olusegun Obasanjo, former president of Nigeria. The next one is Uhuru Muigai Kenyatta, the former president of Kenya. And the third person is Haile Mariam Desalegn, the former prime minister of Ethiopia. That triumvirate has now been mandated to midwife the peace process, and this peace process is designed to restore normalcy in the Democratic Republic of Congo. In the intervening period, in my view, it is critical that we do not apportion blame. All the parties involved must now be required to participate in the process. That means, therefore, that Rwanda must be involved. It means that the Democratic Republic of Congo must be involved. It means that Uganda must be involved to the extent that it has played a part in the past. But it is critical going forward that all the combatant parties are involved. In other words, what one expects of President Obasanjo, President Uhuru Kenyatta, and Prime Minister Desalegn is that they will persuade the Kinshasa government led by Tshisekedi Felix to convene an all-Congolese meeting at which all arms-bearing parties will be involved. And we must remind ourselves that there are over 120 armed groups in the Democratic Republic of Congo. We only hear of the M23 and the Fleuve de Congo, but there are many others, and all of them must be involved in the process, because it is only then that the government of the Democratic Republic of Congo will be able to address the short-term, medium-term, and long-term things. And if they do so, then peace and normalcy will be restored in the eastern part of the Democratic Republic of Congo. Peace must break out in the Democratic Republic of Congo, and all Congolese, their origin notwithstanding, must be recognized. Africa and Congo must not allow the borders crafted by the colonizers in Berlin to divide the peoples. If they do that, they'll be falling to the designs of the colonizers. The original sin was committed by the European colonizers in Berlin. We cannot afford the luxury of keeping up with that tune, which is destructive to Congo and, by extension, the continent of Africa. Brothers and sisters, the continent of Africa is the home of many issues. We are only scratching the surface, and we'll come again to continue our exercise in scratching that surface, that we may begin to understand and appreciate the mother continent. Until then, bye-bye and thank you.